HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228E P. Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. More hostages and prisoners are expected to be released after a temporary truce between Israel and Hamas was extended. Qatar's foreign ministry spokesman, Majed Al Ansari.
We have an extra number of 20 hostages that are ready to be released within this 48 hours.
11 hostages were released yesterday in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. The Qatar negotiated extension is also expected to pave the way for more aid deliveries to Gaza. Another setback for Evan Gershkovich. The Wall Street Journal reporter's detention on espionage charges has been extended in Russia until at least January 30th. New developments in the investigation into the deadly wildfires on Maui in August. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
The state attorney general issued subpoenas targeting three departments as part of the governor's independent probe. Sources told us some Maui County officials are being what they called uncooperative.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stay.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. American consumers tell a new poll they prefer buying American-made products. This year's Made in America holiday gift guide aims to help. Scott Paul is president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing.
A lot of people don't know where to look for Made in America gifts, and having something that's curated makes that task a little bit easier.
This year's guide features seven Wisconsin companies, including Cobra Head Garden Tools and Door County Candle Company. It's Charity Fraud Awareness Week. Consumer protection officials say you should ask solicitors for their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You should also ask how much of your donation will be used to actually help people. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Menominee Board of Education has voted to pass a $4.2 million operational referendum, which will be sent to next year's ballot. The board voted unanimously to pass the referendum to give voters the chance to pass it as well. If the referendum is passed by voters, it will cost approximately $125 for every $100,000 their house is worth per year. School officials say if the referendum fails to pass on the February 20th ballot, there's a chance some district schools may be forced to close. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Keep Wildlife Wild poster contest is now underway. The contest allows students in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade to create a poster to teach the public about the importance of observing wildlife outdoors and not keeping wild animals as pets. Students must submit their poster designs by 5 p.m. on February 16th, and the judges will review the submissions and announce a winner in March. The DNR website has more information on submitting the poster designs. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Packers getting some players back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers say that some of their players are coming off the injury list and could be ready to play when they host the Chiefs Sunday night. Defensive back Eric Stokes was injured on a special teams play in Denver. He was back at practice. Rookie receiver Dontavian Wicks has cleared the concussion protocol. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Heat tonight in Miami. The Bucks 12-5 so far for the season. College hoops, Wisconsin with a win last night at the Kohl Center, 71-49 over Western Illinois. Greg Gard said that Western Illinois played tough on defense.
We could not get into a rhythm, and that's what all the switching and the gumming up, it just makes it ugly, you know, because they're switching on everything. And so then it gets you to stand a little bit and not cut as hard as you should or screen well, so that we needed to come out of the gate better. We were able to make some shots and get some stops there and finish it out.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You It's still going to be a little chilly out there today. Partly cloudy, 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a bit breezy. We'll drop down to 21. The wind out of the south to west, 15 to 20, gusting to 25. And then tomorrow, sunshine, 38. Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 3 above.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
like, it.
Solid. Right on.
Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's feeling like winter out there.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
That it is, especially with the snow on the ground.
Hey, well, you know, man, it's, you know, there's no point in us crying now. We've got 6 months. What do they say? 6 weeks before the groundhog sees his shadow?
Something like that.
Yeah, we got about 5 months before we even see the groundhog. But anyway, man, it's what it is. And so right now this is temperature equivalent to January. So, you know, it's a prelude. And just a couple more days, I think, and then we're back in the 40s. It's Tuesday, so that means Tuesdays with my co-host, my sidekick, Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Earl, I drove across the state. Heck, you know, I think the prettiest part of the state might be from Madison West to La Crosse. That thriftless area. So anyway, I drove over here to Minnesota yesterday with my son, and I'm sitting here in Rochester, Minnesota.
So a lot of snow across the state.
It was a dusting, but you know, it sort of. I kept thinking about the over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. It was that kind of a drive. But no, and it is cold outside. It's definitely winterish out there.
Well, you know, you got a nice toy snowmobile to drive around the state in. So that kind of helps, right?
It was all right. It was a very pleasant drive. It was.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, you've been to the new Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra facility, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. It's very nifty. You know, it has a very European old school style to it. And when you know the room itself, the Philharmonic room, and the entry to it's quite modern. It's a very neat place.
Well, you know, Sandy, only because you're a globe traveler would you use words like nifty and nice place to talk about a spectacular, for me, just seeing that place from the outside in and seeing some of the pictures of it, is spectacular. Am I overselling it?
No. And the inside is a lot like the Bolshoi or the famous theaters of Europe. It's an old style theater inside, and you know the way they constructed it, moving that wall.
Yes.
You know, they moved an entire wall like 40 feet to to accommodate the acoustics they were trying to create. No, it's a spectacular place.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I've been given five sets of two tickets to give away for a show that is going to be happening on December 2nd. It's called Holiday Jazz with Dee Alexander. She is who's who of the jazz scene in Chicago. But I just wanted our listening audience, Sandy, to get an idea of the facility itself and those who will be lucky enough to win these tickets, how taken aback they'll be with the beauty of that facility.
Well, and it's convenient too. There's a big parking area right behind it. It's very well conceived, and it's just steps away from the convention center. I mean, Milwaukee's done a great job of figuring out its downtown development.
You know, Sandy, I think you and I had the conversation the other day about Portland, Oregon, of all places. Portland was considered a cosmopolitan city, a decade or so ago, but they've come to Milwaukee to take a look at what Milwaukee has done.
Yeah, you know, Portland was on a trajectory 10 years ago where people in Milwaukee were talking about having Milwaukee be the Portland of the Midwest. And I think a week or a week and a half ago, this Mayor Hohn from Portland, who I guess was born in Milwaukee and probably is a descendant of the Mayor Hohn, who the bridge is named after, brought a delegation from Portland to Milwaukee because Portland is run amok. You know, their downtown is not doing well, not thriving, and they were coming to Milwaukee to see what Milwaukee's formula was for the success we're realizing downtown.
You know, Sandy, and I just want to let those in our listening audience know from Amory to Richland Center, just how beautiful Milwaukee is. And it'll be a great opportunity for you if you win these tickets to come and take a little look at what Milwaukee is. And many people who haven't been here across the state will be pleasantly surprised at what they see, especially.
Well, you know, one thing that is happening across the state and in almost all the, I think in all the cities that listen to us, is there has been significant downtown redevelopment in cities across the state. So La Crosse is actively involved now. Sheboygan, Port Washington, all the way up the Lake Michigan coast, and up north in the northwestern part of the state. So, I mean, it's interesting, but I think Wisconsin cities have been at the vanguard of downtown redevelopments. Regardless of the scale of the city, they all seem to be realizing rejuvenation.
So let's make it easy on Calvin. Hey, Calvin, call a number. 1,930. Well, caller number 10 will receive, a pair of tickets to Holiday Jazz with Dee Alexander. That's December 2nd on a Saturday. And we'll for the next 4 days, 3 days, we'll be giving out a set of two to that event. But, Sandy, I wanted to I didn't know where to begin, but let's begin here. The Bucks.
Well, we can begin at the beginning.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a team that you and I both love for a couple minutes, because we don't usually do sports, but the Milwaukee Bucks, Sandy. And for those people across the state who may not know much about our beloved Milwaukee Bucks, what do you think thus far?
Well, I think they have the makings, but they haven't made it yet. I think they might need to do a little bit of shuffling. Chris Middleton, star that he is, sits on the bench more often than not with injuries.
And that's a good thing, I think. I hate to say with the injuries, but I think all in all, they're a better team without him on the court right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. Sometimes they're better without Giannis on the court. I think they have a really good bench. I think when they're moving the basketball, playing European-style basketball, they're a really good team.
And I just think that they're going to have to get coached and get the discipline to play that way for four quarters, because, you know, so far they have only rarely played up to their potential in games. I mean, you know, they've been winning games, but, you know, to win at the 11th hour after being down 26 points to a team that was, say,
Portland,
you know, 4 and whatever their record is, not a good record.
You know, Sandy, after you and I have been talking about this, they're still 10-5. I mean, they're, you know, they're kind of right there, right? I mean, they don't stink up the place. They're 10-5, which is a pretty good start considering they've kind of retooled all of it. And so there's room for improvement, but they certainly have something to work with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of upside. There's lots of upside from the way they're currently playing, and they show flashes of it. The first 5 minutes of most of their games involves lots of passing, good ball movement. They seem to get out of the blocks pretty quickly. In most games, it's sort of a malaise they fall into at the second quarter, third quarter kind of malaise. So they're kind of a first and fourth quarter team the way they've been playing lately.
You know, Sandy, I want to do this before we actually, have to pay some bills. I want to tease the first subject. And local newspaper, Sandy, and you know I know the impact of what we used to have in the city of Milwaukee with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Journal and the Sentinel, and the quality of the news that, you know, you could get, and all the different reporters and you know, they certainly did in-depth reporting on things. And now local newspapers, Sandy, are basically gone. And so people get their news from, you know, from the internet and from word of mouth. Your thoughts on the death of local news papers?
Well, it was sort of sudden. You know, the local news was really thriving in the mid 90s, and I think the best year for revenue in newspapers was in the 2000s. A fellow we'll have on the air sometime soon, Scott Klug, who was a congressman from Madison, has a blog, a podcast that he does called Lost in the Middle now. And in a couple of those editions, he does a very good job of analyzing the collapse of the news media and what it's done to us, because the loss of investigatorial reporting, the loss of the bright light shining on what's going on in our government has created a lot of the problems we're currently having with government. And it's created a lot of the polarization, people chasing down and listening to news that comforts them rather than news that might be the truth, you know, the actual fact. He gives some data in his podcast about Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite was the most respected man in America.
So, yeah? Sandy, whether it's whether it's Hayward, the buzz of the North 9, 10 a.m. WBZH, or Eau Claire, 93.5, the Tap, the loss of these newspapers have been devastating. And we'll return in a couple minutes to continue the conversation. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join us. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We're broadcasting from 540 AM and 101 FM, the show, here in Waukesha. And it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, we were talking, and you can join us again at 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy, we were talking about the loss of these local newspapers. Not only that, what the local newspapers used to do was certainly national news is one thing, but they kind of kept you abreast on what was happening in your own hometown. And, you know, and I think, Sandy, it kind of deterred people from, deterred people from, in the public eye, from doing some things that clearly those local reporters would cover, and they kind of kept, you know, the wraps on people who were in positions of leadership to do the right thing.
Well, yeah, that's what the news media is all about, is holding public figures' feet to the fire, making sure that what they're doing is exposed to the public, everything good and everything potentially bad. And I think it served as a factor to moderate the behavior of public figures and to make them more careful about, for instance, the exercise of good ethics. And Wisconsin has been filled with good local news media. I mean, right there in Waukesha, the Waukesha Freeman was a famous newspaper nationally for the quality of its journalism. And La Crosse and Hayward and every one of the listening areas we have has local news media, but the local news media they have is probably a good deal different than the local news media they had in the past, where they had newsrooms and beat reporters and people out covering things locally and making sure that they had their ear to the rail, knowing what was going on.
Now
when news media is owned by Gannett and they pick up national news feeds as a primary source of news, you lose all that.
You know, Sandy, you mentioned Gannett that owns most of these now, and they're all the same, right? I mean, if you really look at what's inside of the newspapers, they're bereft of content because, as you stated, there no newsrooms, very few of any reporters, and so it's hard for people who rely on that kind of information to help them understand what's going on, especially, I would think, Sandy, in rural areas where people are spread out a lot more. Those things are kind of lifelines, aren't they?
Well, for sure. I mean, the local news used to be the first thing everyone would read in the morning, and it would be what they'd talk about over coffee.
Right.
It was sort of the heartthrob of a community, and the community, there still is that sort of community drive, I'm sure, in communities. But without local reporters and without local newsrooms, you're left with what you get on the internet and that sort of the spread of national news from a source like Gannett, which probably derives most of its news from the internet.
You know, Sandy, it's not funny because I think it's part of why the society is the way it is now. Because the one thing that I know when I would get up and read that Sentinel every morning was I could count on the content that was in it. Somebody had researched it before they were allowed to put it out, right? I mean, the answer, I mean, so what they have now in its place is, you know, the information that people get on these websites, and it's anybody saying whatever it is they want to say, and none of that is backed up by anything. When you talk about the newsrooms, you know, I'm sure they debated what would go into the newspapers. They were careful about there, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, and for sure. And Wisconsin, you know, one of the founders of the Milwaukee Journal was a fellow named Neiman. And at Harvard University, one of the renowned places in the world, there's a Neiman Fellowship that is named after him, that is a fellowship for journalists. And Wisconsin, you know, the Wisconsin newspapers across the state used to win Pulitzer Prizes with regularity for news coverage. And news coverage meant not only being able to identify what was important, but to portray it in an honest, truthful manner that was interesting to the reader. And that was what news was. And news has become something different now. News has become something more like what you would buy at a grocery store, you know, the National Enquirer, the kind of news that stirs you up, makes you excited, piques your interest, piques your maybe morbid curiosity, but it's not about local news.
No, you know, Sandy, it's not, and we are not better because of the fact that Gannett was able to buy out all these newspapers. I remember when they bought the Milwaukee Journal, Journal Sentinel, and changed it to look just like USA Today. And there was something, I guess, a tinge of remorse for me when I saw that change because, you know, USA Today is one thing. The Journal Sentinel was something a little more sacred to me because it was a part of, you know, where I got my news from all those years. But it clearly, Sandy, is not a good thing what has happened with the loss of these local newspapers. And I think they'll continue to lose them, Sandy, because of the costs associated with producing them and the ink and all those things.
Well, yeah. I mean, this blog that I refer to, the podcast from Klug, identifies the Craigslist and the loss, the use of the internet to buy and sell things between people to destroy the classified pages of the news media. And it ends up that the classified ads in newspapers was a primary source of revenue.
Right.
So in sort of a revenue direct way, the internet is what has killed the newsrooms and has killed local news.
So when we return, speaking of paying bills, we've got to do that. But you and I are going to be talking about Ukraine, Israel, and the war in Israel, the Ukrainian war, Sandy, and why our government is at a stalemate on whether or not we should be supporting, you know, the war and the wars and the fact that all those things are tied into the border and whether or not they should all be tied together or whether or not they should remain, that should be separated, which is a major issue that the government is going to be dealing with. We'll be right back.
Christmas tree, have a happy holiday.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to run for state Supreme Court in 2025. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term is coming up, and she said she plans to run again. Just like earlier this year, the 2025 race is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. Schimmel was the state's Republican Attorney General from 2015 to 2019. Bradley has served three terms on the high court. While you were relaxing over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, Wisconsin state troopers were busy. The state patrol says it issued about 600 speeding tickets and responded to 128 crashes between Wednesday and Sunday. State troopers gave out 591 speeding tickets and arrested 18 impaired drivers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what...
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire area residents will now be able to share photos, texts, and videos with 911 dispatchers. Using the prepared 911 system, dispatchers can now send callers a text message with a website link that will allow callers to send live video of where they are as well as text the dispatcher. The program has been praised as a way to allow first responders to get a better idea of the scene they'll be responding to. The Eau Claire Emergency Communications Center also plans to overhaul the system in July of 2024. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has been using an alternate state email address as a security measure named after a Hall of Fame pitcher for the Milwaukee Braves. Governor Evers reportedly used the email address warren.span@wisconsin.gov to discuss public business with top-level cabinet appointees. A spokesperson for the governor said the use of an alias email address is a common security measure by government officials, and they have complied with open record requests for it. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Packers getting some players back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers say that some of their players are coming off the injury list and could be ready to play when they host the Chiefs Sunday night. Defensive back Eric Stokes was injured on a special teams play in Denver. He was back at practice. Rookie receiver Dontavian Wicks has cleared the concussion protocol. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Heat tonight in Miami. The Bucks 12-5 so far for the season. College hoops, Wisconsin with a win last night at the Kohl Center, 71-49 over Western Illinois. Greg Gard said that Western Illinois played tough on defense.
We could not get into a rhythm, and that's what all the switching and the gumming up, it just makes it ugly, you know, because they're switching on everything. And so then it gets you to stand a little bit and not cut as hard as you should or screen well, so that we needed to come out of the gate better. We were able to make some shots and get some stops there and finish it out.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
It's still going to be a little chilly out there today. Partly cloudy, 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a bit breezy. We'll drop down to 21. The wind out of the south to west, 15 to 20, gusting to 25. And then tomorrow, sunshine, 38. Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 3 above.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Hey.
chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And good morning to Oshkosh, 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. You know, Sandy, the more I am reading about what ties together the financial support for, you know, the Ukrainian war, Israel, the war between Israel and Hamas, and Sandy, the border, and all of these things are being kind of lumped together. Republicans want them separated. They want the financial support for Israel separate from Ukraine, and they want to tie Ukraine and the border together. And Sandy, it is a dangerous proposition that they are attempting to do. And there's 3 weeks left, you know, before, you know, the nation goes on a break. And in that period of time, if this thing isn't, you know, finalized between the resources to help Ukraine, that whole thing is going to turn around. Your thoughts on the fact that Republicans who say that it's not that they don't want to finance Ukraine and that they don't agree with the Ukrainian war. It's just that the border is the most important issue. Your thoughts?
Well, I just think they're doing it backwards. I think that priorities should have been discussed and debated and determined at the time that we became pregnant with supporting Ukraine, and at the time that we decided that we were an ally of Israel and would stand behind them. You know, When you make those sorts of commitments internationally, you're sort of then duty bound to back them up. Or it's much like the businessman who doesn't keep his bargain, right? If you're a business person, you don't keep your bargain, you'll have trouble having bargains with anyone in the future. That, you know, people won't want to deal with you. Unfortunately, we didn't learn that. The business maybe has only slowly learned that lesson with Donald Trump, but it's a generally prevailing rule. And so, you know, this all should have been a matter of prioritization. You know, how much do we spend on healthcare? How much do we spend on defense? How much do we spend supporting our borders? And what kind of commitments do we have and make? And then when you have those commitments, you're sort of duty bound to finance them. And so I would say that by lumping things together, all the Republicans and the opponents to the supporting the Ukraine war are trying to use leverage to accomplish something else. They aren't trying to block the Ukrainian support. They're trying to get something else in exchange for it. They're log rolling. And that's the immorality of it. And that's the stuff that the international world looks at and says, hey, how can we trust your bargains if all of our bargains with you are subject to domestic log rolling politics? And the more you are committed to us, the more likely it is that someone will try and get something else in exchange. And so, you know, I'm a skeptic about the extent to which we became involved in Ukraine in the first place and maybe helped precipitate the invasion by the conduct we had prior. But now we're there. We've made the commitment. We've made the commitments. And so I think we're sort of duty bound to follow them. And I think trying to tie it together to exact a price that's extraneous to it is lacks morality and will hurt us internationally.
You know, Sandy, it is unconscionable. Whatever the issues are, I mean, we know about the border, right? It's been an ongoing issue for decades. And so for a handful of Republicans to once again hold up everything that this nation supposedly stands for and the commitment that as you stated, we have made to the Ukrainians and those people. And just because you are, you know, a congressperson or a senator, and you throw out the window the impact of what's going to happen there, Sandy, because you want to prove a point that we're going to do something with the border, and we're going to, by God, we're going to force them, the Democrats, to give us a pound of flesh, if you will, because we got to prove that this is what we said we wanted done, and we want our constituents to understand we're people of our words. Well, that's, to me, Sandy, that's hogwash. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, there was none of that skepticism about Ukraine being voiced by these people at the beginning, okay, at the beginning of the support of the U.S. with respect at the time of the invasion by Russia. And so what they're doing now is simply trying to exact something, and they're trying to exact a price, which is their version of border policy. But what the border policy, what we need for immigration is a nationally redefined immigration policy. And there's been efforts, bipartisan efforts were made in the 2003, 2004, 2005 framework time. And there have been other attempts at it. But what we need is a bipartisan evaluation of an issue that ought to be bipartisan about dealing with immigration. And it's not going to be handled with one-off kinds of coercive policies like what's currently being talked about.
Sandy, and you and I are going to keep this conversation going because I think it's important that the American people, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. But I think it's important that the American people really understand the magnitude of what's happening here and what's getting ready to take place if something doesn't occur in the next 3 weeks. Russia is clearly ready and poised. And you know, what's going to happen is if they don't get those resources, Ukraine, then what you're going to hear is, well, the Democrats didn't give us what we wanted, and so the blood is on their hands. And I just think that kind of politics, Sandy, is just, you know, the ends doesn't justify the means. People are going to be slaughtered. And we have to get beyond that kind of way of thinking. And I think that the American people, Sandy, should be demanding of our elected officials that you don't do this.
Well, like I said before, this really has to do ultimately with the reputation of America in the world. And that reputation has everything to do with the dollar being the world currency. And the dollar being the world currency has everything to do with the strength of our economy. So, you know, the fact that conservatives would toy and play with things that have a potentially dire consequence for the reputation of not just America, but the dollar in the world. You know, the use of economic sanctions across the board have created problems for the dollar. The use of tariffs has created problems for the dollar. And now if we have an unreliable foreign policy, if we aren't viewed as a reliable ally, that's sort of the ultimate, okay? That's the ultimate form of lack of reliability. And will create real problems for us, not just reputational, but economic.
So, Sandy, again, what I don't understand is that these same conservatives, when this thing first, the Ukraine war first appeared, and they were clearly in support of supporting Ukraine across the board. There was none of that.
Yeah.
And so I remember distinctly blaming, you know, President Biden for allowing this to happen. And we had to support the Ukrainian. So is it part of it, Sandy, the fact that it's not the number one story in the news anymore? That have the American people just forgotten about it?
It has to do with leverage. It has to do with political expedience. That's what it has everything to do with. You know, the notion that this wouldn't have happened because Trump was tough. And then now what you're going to do is prove that America isn't tough and isn't reliable. Would be to rob the country of the capacity to be to have deterrence be the result of diplomacy. Okay, and so this is kind of like a fatal flaw in the political process of the ongoing political process, which is everything seems to relate to political expedience. What can I get for it? How can I make someone look bad? What is the way to back my opponent into a corner so I can get what I want, regardless of what is good for public policy?
And so if you're just joining us, Sandy and I are talking about the fact that Republicans are really saying that we're not going to support Ukraine financially, economically anymore in this war if we don't get a buy-in with the border, United States border, and we want to separate what President Joe Biden had already talked about and put in place to give $60 billion to Ukraine, $40 billion or so to Israel, and these were emergency expenditures. The other thing I would add, Sandy, to you, and I'd love to hear your opinion on it, is so If America defaults on these things, China's waiting in the wings, and people are starting to have more confidence in China. So aren't we pushing people into the arms of China, Sandy, when we do these things?
Absolutely. We're pushing them into the arms of people who either aren't making promises and therefore aren't breaking them, and also have tremendous economic power. I mean, China is the biggest trading partner with many countries in the world, and has immense economic capacity and has provided a great deal of infrastructure kind of support around the world. I mean, we would say that they've caused a lot of developing countries to go into extreme debt to build infrastructure, but the second half of that sentence is important: to build infrastructure. And China has been very pivotal in the construction of infrastructure for a number of countries around the world.
So, you know, I still maintain, Sandy, that with all of our anger at China and finger pointing at China, we're doing the best thing for China by constantly letting down people who believed in us. And that was the one thing that, as a young man, you could count on, was that the United States of America was going to be there and they were going to be people of their words, and financially as well as militarily. And now those things are not so secure anymore. We've got to take a short snippet, and when we return, Sandy, we'll continue this conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Your thoughts. We'll be right back.
To kids from 1 to 92, although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.
93.5 The Tap.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, we were talking about before.
Earl, just to interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we go ahead, I would bet that when we identify the name of the fellow who was just singing, that only a limited number of people in our audience will even know who that is.
You know, Sandy, Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
You know, we should have asked Calvin. but he's got that question mark look on his face. I don't think he would have known.
Well, I played the song, so I had a little bit of a cheating head start on that question.
But if you had played the song, would you have known who that was?
I don't know if I would have known off the top of my head, but I've definitely heard the name Bing Crosby.
Yeah, that Sandy.
You have heard the name. Well, it's a distinctive name.
Well, you know, Sandy, that might have been either, that's got to be the second greatest Christmas song ever produced. And it was number one forever until a woman named Mariah Carey came up with something, All I Want for Christmas. I don't know. I guess that's what the name of it is. But for Bing Crosby, that was for decades the number one Christmas song.
Yeah.
You know, but Sandy, when we talk about what's going on in Ukraine, you can't help but, you know, ask the question to the American people, what happened? We overwhelmingly supported that. You and I, over the last couple of years, we've been talking about it. And I would venture to say it had to be almost 70% of the American people supported that or more. Our involvement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was overwhelming and it was bipartisan. And, you know, the initial shock of the invasion was, well, Ukraine will collapse right away. Then they put up a fight. And then we said, hey, they'll bring up a fight. We're going to support them. We'll help them. We began to help them like, man, they're still putting up a fight. Now the fact that it's a stalemate, I mean, Russia is no longer, there's no threat that Russia is going to overrun Ukraine. The issue really is whether Ukraine can expel Russia from the areas of Ukraine which had been occupied since 2014, Crimea being the main area. But now it's being characterized totally differently. Like, this is a war that's going nowhere. That's what the opponents are saying. When, in fact, it's a war that's surprising in that the Ukrainians have exhibited a stiff backbone and have essentially stopped Russia in its tracks. So it all depends on how you look at it and the vantage point and what political hay you want to make out of it.
Well, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I'm curious of the listening from the listening audience, Sandy, what changed their minds? You and I, over the last couple of years when we talked about this, phone lines were always in total support of what, Ukraine. But something happened.
Yeah, I mean, I, Yeah, I was voicing skepticism about how we got into it and the fact that I thought our foreign policy was faulty at that end. But we did get into it. And meanwhile, we were being the phone calls that came in were essentially unanimously in support of a strong backing by the United States to do whatever it takes. You know, in fact, people were saying we should send boots on the ground.
Yes.
You know, we had conservative callers who were saying we need to put planes in there. We need to put boots on the ground.
You know, Sandy, the other side of all of this, again, is, as you talked about, how Ukraine has been able to fight off, but they certainly were not able to, could have never fought off Russia without our support and our help. And it's clear to say that without our support, without our help, all of what they had, you know, the fight that they put up, they're going to be rolled over. And I think that's what people need to understand.
I mean, with our help and with our support, they've managed to carry out a long fight in which they've lost hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes.
So, you know, the support has come at a great price for them. And if we had given them no support, Russia would have rolled over them, but they would have rolled over them with minimal losses, right? Minimal losses of Ukrainians. They would have might have lost their view of what is independence. But they wouldn't have had the horrible kind of devastation of their infrastructure and population that they've had by putting up the fight that we've helped them put up.
Well, you know,
and so now if we pull the plug on it, they will have done all of that for naught.
I am kind of, you know, surprised that this doesn't warrant, you know, a conversation. Because of, again, so many people who, and I think the correlation between why people felt the way they felt, Sandy, was what we saw on television and the nightly news. And so you don't see any of that anymore. And you haven't seen that for a long time. And so is it, Sandy, that we are creatures of what we see? And so if we don't see it, it's almost like it doesn't exist. I mean, I know the American people know it's still going on, but if they don't see it, maybe they don't see the babies and those kind of things. Maybe that's what motivates people is visually.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
That is, I think, the case, and particularly because we don't have troops there. But, you know, we were able to get this out of sight, out of mind kind of outlook going for Afghanistan. That's what allowed us to be there for 20 years. And for Iraq and for our current involvements around the world, I mean, out of sight, out of mind.
You know, Sandy, when we return, I wanted to talk about, you know, the ceasefire and where that's headed. I think there are a lot of different ways that's going to go. And we'll take these calls on the other side. So
let me just add, though, that I think this out of sight, out of mind ties back into the loss of the newsroom that we've talked about. We've lost our international newsrooms. We've lost war correspondents. And so we've lost our capacity to keep
right.
in mind and keep in sight what's going on.
All right. So, guys, hang on the lines. We'll return. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
He married and bride, and may all your Christmases be white.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.